All right, we are here with Russ Little. He is a local business owner. Welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I first kind of ran across your name when I saw that you have a goat mowing service, amongst other businesses that you run. But first, let's talk about this goat mowing service. This is becoming a popular trend for a multitude of reasons. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
I've often had goats on and off throughout my life, and I saw a little bit of a need there for a way for people to take care of their weeds and manage their pastures and things like that. So we kind of built up a little bit of a business. It'd be really hot over on the other side of the state. We do okay here, but I probably get a call every couple days of people wanting to lease goats to manage their weeds instead of using pesticides or some other form of weed control.
Now, how far do you travel when you get those calls from Boise? Do you ship a bunch of goats over there?
I could if I wanted to focus on that business, but we've had some folks from California that own a recreational property here close, and so for the last couple of years, they've used my goats and pretty much book them out for the whole summer, and then we'll do small jobs here and there, but they've taken the majority of them.
Now, kind of explain to me how this works. Obviously a goat is not a machine, so it will just kind of eat whatever. Is there a specific method to making sure the goats only eat what they're supposed to eat?
You can get pretty in-depth into training your goats on what weeds to eat, even to the point of giving them an adrenaline rush after they eat the weed they're supposed to. We don't go that in-depth. We pretty much just let them eat what they want. They keep everything down. Goats are different than cattle in the fact that they like to browse. They like to go through and pick certain things out. They're much more like a deer in that respect. And so they go through and they'll eat weeds, and they're really good if they can get to the weeds before they seed, and helps knock it down for the next year. And so they're not, you know, goats got a reputation of eating anything, and that's not necessarily true. They're very selective in what they like to eat, but they have a vast majority of things that they do like to eat, but they rotate what they like to eat throughout their grazing cycle.
So how long does it take for a herd of goats to clear through a job?
It just kind of depends on how many goats we got on the job. We've had as many as 100 on the islands, and that was plenty that were grazing down on the river. And then you also depend on how many, you know, whatever you want to call it, tonnage of weeds they have to get through. But a herd of goats, you know, about 100 will take out a quarter an acre a day is kind of a rule of thumb if it's not too extreme.
Now, we called you a local businessman because you kind of wear a couple of different hats. Your hat, actually, that you're wearing right now says Dry Ridge Outfitters. You were telling me about this on the phone as well, that in addition to, you know, renting out herds of goats to help clean up people's yards and pastures, that you also do horseback ride. And these are short rides or long rides. Tell me about that.
I take half of the business. My dad takes half of it. He runs in the Tetons. I run up in Island Park. I do everything from 1 to 4 hour rides and even little rides around the Krill for little kids. My dad takes anything from 1 hour rides on up to 7 day pack trips. Our family has always been involved in horses. Even coming across the plains as pioneers, we've always had horses in our lives. And so it's just kind of a natural part to be able to want to share that with tourists. And that's kind of always been our bread and butter, and the way we've provided for our families growing up is to run a herd of horses and take guests out horseback riding. What we're doing right now this fall is going out and listening to the elk bugle. They're in their rut right now, and it is a very exciting time of the year with everything going on. You got your waterfowl that are moving in and out. You got your elk that are in their rut. The mating season's on, so there's a lot of excitement out in the woods right now.
So when it comes to, you know, riding or booking a ride trip, does this have to be a super experienced person, or do you take people who have, you know, all the way down to have never even looked at a horse kind of demographic?
Yeah, we've taken everybody. We've taken people that are very experienced right down. I mean, I probably put 600 or 700 people on their very first horse every year, and that's a good experience. That's neat, especially when it's a little kid They've been waiting to do this for a while, and they get the opportunity to do that. And so, no, we specialize in very beginner riders. We have a herd of horses that do a phenomenal job of taking care of people and making sure that they have a good time and a good experience.
So kind of tell me on a broader scale, as a business owner, and you're not, you know, a typical, you know, store owner that we think of when we think of business owner. You are actually kind of out in the wilderness, if you will, operating a business in Southeast Idaho. What have you learned about operating business like that in this region?
A lot. I wouldn't even know where to start. There's definitely a learning curve anytime you start a business. I did have kind of a leg up by following in my dad's footsteps. I do have a 2-year animal science degree from BYUI here, and that's helped out with some of the vet needs for my animals. And everything is you gotta weigh everything, and every decision you make has a consequence. It's easy to make decisions if you're not responsible for the consequences. But when you're responsible for the consequences, and that's going to affect your bottom line, from everything from who you hire to the horses that you use to when you put them on feed, when you start feeding hay, we've always made a point of trying to get return customers, because I know that getting a return customer back into your business is way cheaper than going out and finding a new one. And so once they get there, we really try to take care of them. We have about a 65% return customer rate, meaning that 65% of our guests have been there before, which I'm very proud of. That's almost unheard of in our line of work. And so that's a big thing. Working with the state park, working with a government entity there, a short season, we got to manage for that. And then horses, you got to manage them as well and make sure that they're the kind of horse that's going to take care of people as well as the employees. Got to get the employees trained and get them so that they're on the same page as you are with running your business. So, I mean, there's hundreds of things that go into it, but those I'd say are probably the top of the list.
There's a lot of moving parts when it comes to running a business.
Yeah.
When it comes to someone maybe who wants to start a business similar to yours, maybe it's not the same industry, but wants to start a business that's more outdoorsy, what would you say to someone who's looking at embarking in that, maybe a young college student or a young couple?
I would say do your homework. Make sure there's a need. It doesn't hurt to go around and ask people if this is something that they would be interested in. Find something that's sellable. That makes a big difference. I was talking to a lady years ago and she was selling wallpaper, and she just said, you know, you can't get people to buy wallpaper anymore. And she was, in my opinion, was in the wrong line of business. She needed to find something that was appealing to people. And don't be, you know, you're going to have to take chances. It's always part of the game. Where there's risk, there's reward. So, you know, do your homework, be brave, and find something that someone's going to like, something that's out there that might be a new idea that someone else hasn't thought of.
Perfect. Well, we have been here with Russ Little. He's been talking to us about his particular businesses, just a couple of them, but also about how to be successful in running a business in Southeast Idaho. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.